Siren Radio.
So whereabouts in London do we find you this very day, Anna Lewis?
Well, this is a venue and a half. I'm standing on Eel Pie Island Bridge.
Eel Pie Island.
Watching the birds. There are a couple of swans and loads of geese and a few ducks all kind of cracking and making funny honky noises in the background, so you have to forgive them.
Well, in the day, of course, Anna, I recall Eel Pie Island being noted as we passed it by on many an occasion, I believe, for being home to one of the members of The Who. I think Mr. Townsend, Pete Townsend, used to live there. Is he still around?
I don't know. I mean, it's very much a little enclave. I wasn't actually sure whether you could actually walk on the island without being accosted by its own militia. But I did do that twice. I went round it. You can't see very much because, of course, it's just a snake of a central street or avenue, and that's it. There's nowhere else to go. But it's unique.
Let's do our little straw poll then. Let's start off with Eloise. Have you ever heard, as a Londoner, of Eel Pie Island?
No, I haven't. I'm sorry.
South London, you see. Don't go south after midnight. It's a very important part of Twickenham, to be precise. Twickenham and Richmond area.
That's not south.
Well, to me, it is.
That's west. It's west London.
It did for me all those years ago. Bethany, as a Birmingham citizen, presumably you're not interested in Eel Pie Island whatsoever. You'll have your own sort of quaint-sounding names, like Solly Hull.
I've not heard of it at all.
No. Yeah. Eva?
Eel Pie Island? No, I can't say I have heard of that before.
Eels apparently a bit of an endangered species. Jellied eels, of course, very popular with your average cockney. They used to be very popular, like, with fish and chips of their day. Jellied eels. Eels. Like ham sandwich. Abigail, presumably, is just another thing to explore whilst you're over here from Canada.
Yeah, sounds like it, because I've never heard of it before either, so I guess I'm going to have to look into it now.
What is that? Ben in Brighton does the...
No.
One of Jenny deal, which that's about as close as we get. Really,
it's a way forward. Yeah. Now, from the department of things that Anna posts that actually make you almost shed a tear, one awesome thing about Eeyore is that even though he is basically clinically depressed, he still gets invited to participate in adventures and shenanigans with all his friends. They never expect him to pretend to feel happy. They never leave him behind or ask him to change. They just show him love.
Oh, that's a sad photo.
I mean, is that my life story?
Eeyore is well known to be depressed.
Yeah,
it's true. It's just there. I thought, what drove you to actually share that image?
I think we take these little children's books too much for granted. I mean, the sad thing is with Eeyore, he's just permanently depressed and he hasn't got Prozac to up him. He depends on his little friends.
You don't know what Tigger's on. I mean, he could be on all sorts of strange
scenarios. Tigger should be on Ritalin. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. He should be on Ritalin.
Like two extremes. I wonder if A.A. Milne realised he was actually sort of paving the way for the drug culture of the late 90s. Anyway, do you believe in angels, Anna?
Do I?
Believe in angels.
Yeah. I do, actually. I know it sounds a bit woolly, but I do. I think there's definite signs that there are things that are governing our universe, and angels are there when you need them, I think.
Well, we'll be speaking shortly with Mike Dooley, our resident inspirational writer, who's actually in London in April, talking with the best-selling author of Angels in My Hair, that's Irish writer Lorna Byrne, which I've been perusing and so on. And I have to say, lots of key things that are actually there. Apparently we all have guardian angels. Can you see them in the studio, Bethany?
Not with my naked eye.
Not with your naked eye. Yeah. As Bethany, being a sensible presenter, always wears clothes on her eye. She doesn't sort of just leave the eye exposed, like strange things, etc. Eva, are you guardian angels? So,
I like to think that there is something with angels.
Sort of giving us little nudges in the right direction.
Little nudges,
things to actually do, sort of tummy tests and so on. Ben, are you far too cynical for guardian angels, even though...
Unfortunately. Yeah. Unless I'm proven otherwise, I'm firmly in the know, really.
Still in the notion that sort of guardian angels won't be there. I mean, this is Lorna.
I don't doubt other people have had experiences, though. I mean, fair enough, you have, but I haven't. So, for me, no, I don't.
Oh, hello. Is there somebody actually joining us? Is that your little guardian angel we've got in the background there, Anna?
It's a little guardian angel who's feeding the ducks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ducks and eels.
Around here.
It's wonderful. Abigail, guardian angel? I mean, somebody must have been looking after your hand.
Yes, I definitely do believe in guardian angels. But I believe in a lot of things, really. I'm not.
Bethany's proceeding to actually put it to a test now by saying, how hard can I actually hammer this desk with my knee to give myself a good blue and black mark, basically, to sort her way through? She's brought tears to her eyes, so obviously mild success on that basis. Bethany, I said the karate club is another thing entirely. Okay, you feel the need to do the sort of high karate. Ease back from the whole thing. There we are. What more proof do you need, Ben? You know, if there hadn't been a guardian angel there, the whole thing could have collapsed.
Exactly, but if there was a guardian angel there, it probably wouldn't have happened in the first place.
maybe they just got asleep, because, well, according to Lorna Byrne, there are lots of sort of unemployed guardian angels because we've forgotten about their existence and so on.
All queued up at the job centre, no doubt.
The equivalent. I will actually sort of talk more about this with Mike Dooley. Lorna Byrne sees and talks with angels every day of her life and has done so since she was a baby. As a child, Lorna was told by the angels that her job on this earth was to share the wisdom and knowledge that God and the angels were giving her. When Lorna's husband died, her world fell apart. In Stairways to Heaven, she tells the story of how she pulled her life back together and how she, an uneducated mother of four, broke her silence and started to spread the angels' message to the world. So extraordinary from that point of view. And again, quite a heart-rending book. Are there any angel stories you'd like to share with us from your own point of view in terms of your guardian angel saying, get out of Jersey, get out of Jersey now?
Well, I think they give their signs. I mean, I've read quite a lot of Doreen Virtue books, and they're fairly sort of heavy on naming every single angel there is in the hierarchy.
Yeah, but that's Doreen, you see. She's American.
That's Doreen. Yeah. She's very, yeah. But the interesting thing is that one of the stories is about finding white feathers in unusual places, and that's a clue that some angel is looking out for you. And funny enough, a white feather has just gone past me on the river just here. Of course, it would be, because there were birds in front of me, so no surprise there. But, you know, it depends how superstitious you are and how much you want to believe that your life is protected in some way. And I think it's something that maybe our sort of generation... we're very sceptical about. It's, you know, religion is not something to
we're too secular. You're saying we're too secular.
Yeah, I think we're too secular. But I also think that maybe the tide is turning. This Aquarian age is looking for answers. And, and whether you find it in the Bible or you find it in angel stories or you just trust in nature as being the great goddess of all things, I think that the fact that people are looking for something these days means that there is a shift. Whether what you're looking for actually is out there or not is neither here nor there, but the fact is you're on a quest, and that, I think, is part of human nature. We always want to look for something and find answers, if they're out there, of course.
Eloise, your views on the astral plane? Do you go travelling regularly? I like to feel the show is actually open to people listening on the astral plane, because that's what we're about, really.
No.
That's okay. That's all we needed. You know, no. Sort it through. Quizzical eye in a Roger Moore-esque way from Ben, and bang, we're off at all new worlds. Like the tiny library, bringing books to remote villages. Again, Anna, in your birthday week, shall we wish Anna happy birthday? Happy birthday, Anna!
Thank you.
What was the idea behind Antonio Lacayova transforming his three-wheeled van into a travelling library?
Yeah, it's the outreach kind of thing. I mean, an ex-colleague of mine used to live in Rosslyn in Scotland, and she used to run the sort of outreach library. And it's very important for communities that are isolated to have access to books. I mean, books are not, you know, for some people are quite expensive things to buy. And of course, you know, a lot of books are, want of a better word, disposable. You can move them on. They're not your reference books.
No, so, they're your friends. You can't just move them
your
on.
Friends, exactly. So I think this service is really, really important to people who feel otherwise quite cut off from things. So I think it's a lovely idea, personally. Really,
and what adventures, apart from decoding the life and times of the Freemasonry and the world, will you be getting up to over the next 7 days, Anna?
Well, I'm off to the theatre to see something. I'm not entirely sure. Some friends of mine have bought a ticket to the Olive Tree theatre in Richmond, and they said it's a birthday surprise. And I'm not very good at remembering titles or even what the play's about. But I did see Swan Lake last week. I may have mentioned my disturbance about Swan Lake is the fact that the lead ballerina of the Moscow City Ballet was painfully thin, and I was very distressed about that. In fact, it's been dwelling on me for days that whether ballerinas are actually forced into a situation, as indeed models were several years ago, to look very, very thin. But to the point where she was transparent and you could see every single
rib.
That's not healthy.
It's not healthy at all.
It was very sad. It was a lovely production, except not for Snow White, who is the lead ballerina.
I mean, could you not sort of send her in some borscht or something? So boiled cabbage.
No. Yes, true.
Oh, never mind. Eva, any questions you'd like to put to Anna about life, the universe, angels, anything really? Again, another fantastic success.
No, I'm just going to ask.
It's just two for two. It's
no,
genius.
I'm just gonna ask. Yeah. So Anna, like, because I mean, our topic of discussion is angels.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What? So I think we've already asked you on your overall beliefs with angels and things, but like, what about your background, your family? What's your overall view on angels?
Well, my mother was very Catholic, and she was just Catholic, full stop. But I must admit, I've always had an interest in the supernatural. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine bought me a book about a child who almost drowned, had it not been for the angels pushing him out of the water and saving his life. And it was quite a strange, you know, the child could remember being pushed up by some force or you know, he could actually describe that. And it was from a child, I think there's an innocence there and you trust a child, whereas maybe if it's some silly person who's taken marijuana all their life, you might think that perhaps they're not reliable tellers of the truth. But this child was very honest about what he saw, I believe. So, you know, for coming from where I do believe there are things we can't explain, and you know, for me, the angels are out there, and you know, the dark side too, I'm afraid. If you ever come across Aleister Crowley,
oh, don't,
he
please
talks about that, and
it's
that,
going
the
so
dark
well
side.
And then suddenly you start bringing,
don't
I mean,
we, okay,
you'll be into H.P. Lovecraft, you'll be into The Call of Cthulhu, you'll be into all sorts of sacrificial things. And you know Siren doesn't take a clear view about goat sacrifices halfway through the programme. It's not going to happen. Yeah, sorry, end of.
Oh, dear.
Oh, well, moving on. Ben, anything you'd like to add?
Oh, I'm just keen to hear as well. Your idea of angels, do you picture them in the same way as what a stereotypical angel would look like in terms of, you know, white, light, gold, you know, big wings?
Yeah.
Or do you picture them as some sort of just spirit as a person?
Yes. No, I'm afraid I'm very boring, and I do see them as kind of... and that stems from the fact that there seems to be quite a lot of thought about the colours that the angels wear. Like, I think Michael wears blue, so he's a kind of a light...
sky blue, obviously.
Kind of blue sky. Yeah, it's kind of... There's, you know, combinations of their colours. And that goes back to John Dee and looking at the angels and what they represent. You know, I do see them as people, really, but very beautiful.
We will find out what Mike Dooley actually has to say about angels and Lorna Byrne, who, as they will be doing a co-host with him in April, which is quite extraordinary. Are those ducks still quacking in the background there?
They are, I'm afraid. Yeah, they've seen a traffic warden. I think that's why they're quacking.
I'm not surprised. You know, I mean, ducks and traffic wardens, let's face it, it's a recipe for disaster. Abigail, you might like to entitle your memoir that, Ducks and Traffic Wardens, The Life and Times of a Canadian in Lincoln. Free of charge. Meanwhile, would you like to put those last two questions to Anna Lewis, please?
Of course. Have you had a reasonably good telephonic link with us today?
I have. It's food for thought. Thank you.
Lovely. And will you be joining us again?
I would love to. Thanks very much indeed.
we started talking about Angels, apropos, of course, of the awesome Lorna Byrne, who will be co-hosting a fantastic event in London in April with the gentleman who came up with the line, life is not something that happens to you, you happen to life. You came first. You're the very reason the sun came up this morning. And even as you listen to these words, all of the elements are looking to you for direction, because you are, as we all are, literally the eyes and ears of the Almighty. Mike Dooley, welcome back to the Midweek Drive. How are you, sir? How's Florida?
I'm happy. Florida's warm. Everything's great. Alex, great to be in touch again.
Well, we thought when the exciting news broke that you're coming to London again in April, hopefully this time we'll catch up with you in all sorts of wonderful ways. It's not just for yourself, though. This time around, you've got the amazing Lorna Byrne. Now, would you like to share with us, because I'll do the introductions first, Michael, because we've got five fabulous folk in the studio. We have, of course, Ben Lewis.
Hello, Mike.
We have the wonderful Abigail LeMay.
Hi.
Abigail, who's actually a lot north of where
you are in
Florida, because Abigail's from Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The side of Canada, which is the...
neighbours.
Yeah, the Niagara Falls.
Yeah, basically.
Florida, Canada, you could... Exactly. It's literally here and now. Eva McDonald's with us, of course.
See you from my kitchen window.
Exactly. Eva's with us.
Hello.
And
hi,
we-
Eve.
And we have the joys of Bethany Gulliver.
Hiya.
And Eloise Sheehan.
Hello.
So there we are. Now, we've decided that of the six of us in the studio, five of us, I think it's fair to say, are fairly convinced in angels. We believe that they're actually there. We don't necessarily see them. One, no needs intended, but it's Ben. What the heck? Ben, you're saying no.
I'm open. But at the minute, I've not had an experience or anything to prove to me that there's... angels there. Until otherwise, I will probably remain.
Okay, so Mike, would you like to share with us first and foremost how this grand connection between yourself and Lorna Byrne came about, and how obviously there's that opportunity to actually find out more about Lorna actually seeing angels and not us, or not as the case may be?
Yeah. Well, I was in London about, I'm thinking, four of them at one of my publishers, even Hay House. And Lorna, although she's not a Hay House author, due to her renown, was invited as well to speak at this, I think, three-day event. You know, each author spoke for about an hour. And we got along like a house on fire, and this, we stayed in touch, and we decided, just because there was such a resonance between us and our messages to the world. Incidentally, let me add, while Lorna is very religious, I am not religious.
That was something that crossed my mind, Mike. I mean, I must admit, that was why I thought, what a bizarre pairing. You know, you got Mike, who's, I mean, not irreligious, so to say. I mean, there's a religious line there, and then you got Lorna, who's very much the sort of the archetypal Catholic Roman orient. And I thought, this was it going to be like a SmackDown Jello wrestling match here?
Well, that's what I would have thought. She actually reached out to me. I don't mind sharing, and she doesn't mind me sharing that. She said her angels told her to reach out to me. And immediately upon enjoying a spot of tea, we realized that unlike the typical, in my opinion, typical message from people of religion, where we are to put the needs of others before our own, where we are to live selflessly, where we are all born bad, broken sinners, this was not her message at all. She was all about celebrating life, following your heart, using your angels to do this in a context that is very, very similar to my own worldview about the nature of reality, who and what the divine is, and why we are here on earth. So this is why we got along so well. And within 2 months, we had agreed to do our own online kind of three-week broadcast. You know, once a week for 2 hours, we would kind of pick each other's brain and share notes with an audience on the internet. And we had over 1,000 people who were enthusiastically supportive of the program we put together. So we've since done a similar event live in Dublin, which went very, very well, her hometown, or near her hometown in Ireland. And this past year, in 2018, we did 8 U.S. and Canadian cities and had anywhere between 150 and 400 people show up in the audience, which is very good, in my opinion. Again, enthusiastic. People left with a lightness in their step, and it works. So we're gonna continue this stretch into 2019 with a visit to London and three more visits in the United States, and who knows where it'll go from there.
Okay, let's open it up to the studio team. Abigail, you've been listening to Mike there. I don't know if you've accessed tut.com or various other sort of areas. You're quite definite in terms of you believe in angels, looking after your broken hand as well from that point of view.
Yeah.
Questions you'd like to put to Mike Dooley?
Well, this is a really the best question, but I am kind of curious at where you went in Canada, because this sounds really interesting and something I'd really be...
We always like to find out where Mike went in Canada.
Well,
it's essential to the Lincoln listener.
I just need to know.
Okay, well, actually, it was Toronto, Ontario, and we've got up our sleeves intentions to eventually do Calgary and Vancouver. So
nice.
Just Toronto, and then the other seven cities were in the United States.
Okay, and can I ask, what kind of audience do you draw? Like, what sort of people do you, like, come to these conferences that you have?
Oh, well, interestingly, or not, my audience and Lorna's audience is typically made up of 80% women, and this is true of all Hay House authors, or all, if I could say, spiritually oriented audiences in my genre, which might be called New Thought. And I would say the average, well, ages go from, you know, some people bring their teenagers, and then we have seniors in their 80s and up. But the average person is probably 35 to 45 years old. And the average person is not religious in my audience or these audiences. Certainly, Lorna has some enthusiastic fans who probably come from every walk of life, including religious walks of life. But that's it in a nutshell.
Okay. Ben, thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, I do find it quite interesting. Do you mind me asking, Mike, when you travel around, do you often find audiences
the
are different?
The Fiesta del Sol. He's going to Gibraltar. He could meet up with Gabriella Peralta, our Gibraltar correspondent.
Yeah, he could indeed, actually. Uh-huh. Do you find your audiences are different in different places you go, Mike, in terms of obviously their thoughts, but also their experiences?
Very little. Sometimes the cultural background might be present. For example, when I first went to Ireland, probably 15 years ago, people in the audience were very shy and embarrassed to be there. And when I did a group picture of me, kind of like a selfie, back then, I would say 10% of the group just bolted and hid and did not want to be seen at an event where somebody like me was talking about the power of thought without a stitch of religion. And I still do not have a stitch of religion in me. But beyond that, no, people in Turkey, in Russia, in Malaysia, Australia, the UK, you know, in my audiences, and I think this is reflective of our populations anyway, there's an open-mindedness, there's a curiosity, and I'd say, and this might answer your earlier question, Alex, and this might help you, Ben, get over your hesitations, that they have an inclination and a desire to believe. And that is not, in my opinion, because we are gullible or we or have any other delusions of grandeur. I think, as I've shared on this program many times, and Alex knows me well, we are truly of the divine. We are light beings. I know that sounds very kind of elusive, but we are, let me say it this way, we are more than mere mortal. And every religion tells us that. And every religion, I would say, was based on good intent to celebrate and perhaps study that which does not meet the physical senses. We all have had experiences that defy the physical senses, whether it's a premonition of who's going to call you and suddenly they do, or a dream that at night that forecasted possible events in the future, or just a hunch or an intuition about circumstances or people or timelines that bore fruit. And I think these hint to our supernatural nature. And if anybody just gives some time to contemplation, I think very quickly we can rule out the notion that we are random chance accidents that just happen to form consciousness springing from space dust or rocks, to suddenly be here alive, animated on this spectacularly majestic, beautiful planet. I mean, there's intelligence everywhere on this planet, undoubtedly through the cosmos, and certainly in our own bodies. And to think that that's random chance or simply the product of evolution from amoebas. I mean, why are there still amoebas? Why is there not skeletal remains of such evolution? Boggles the mind. So we all want to believe this, are inclined to believe in angels, because so much of our personal private experience hints at there being so much more to life than what the physical senses show us. And I think that's enough to go on with an open mind and hear people's stories and be emboldened with confidence and optimism for the state of the world and the possibilities we each have for living a happy life.
I'm particularly impressed with top 10 things that dead people want to tell you if you want a little story, which is quite extraordinary. A little blog. Actually, they're all great books. Mike, Eva.
Mike, have there been any places that you've visited that are your particular favourites, or do you have any good stories of the places you've been?
And he hasn't done Lincoln, England as yet, of course.
Yes, of course.
Done Manchester.
Are there any particular highlights from the places that you've been?
Oh, I think so. I think I have many, many favourites, probably each for different reasons. My mother is British. I have a British passport. I'm a dual national. And whenever I go to the UK, I always have this overwhelming feeling I'm returning home. And I have speculation as to why that might be, other than the obvious, but I adore England. And on other terms, when I spoke in Moscow, that was one of the most mind-blowing. I just couldn't believe, having been raised during the Cold War, that I was walking Red Square and St. Catherine's Cathedral was in front of me, and the audience was absolutely wonderful. And when I go to Africa, whether it's Egypt or South Africa or Kenya, and I've spoken in all of those places, I feel so blessed. I feel like I'm on the happiest continent on earth. Not so much Egypt, although I love Egypt, but Kenya, South Africa, just a different kind of barometer is used by the locals to measure happiness and identity, and I find that so refreshing. Of course, Australia is a wonderful long-haul trip that I always enjoy.
You'll be going to New Zealand as well with TUT's Trans-Pacific Tauranga in 2019. It's amazing.
Indeed, indeed, yes.
Bethany.
I will be.
You've been listening there deep in thought,
yeah,
with respect to the whole thing. So what questions would you like to put
to me? I was reading some of your writing online, actually, and it seems quite sort of cathartic. And I was just wondering if, like, writing about and speaking about these things is actually quite therapeutic for you too. Like, I'm sure you probably learn a lot from it as well.
I do. That's a funny comment, but it's spot on. I've always believed that and this is a quote from Richard Bach, his book Illusions. He was the author of Jonathan Livingston Seagull. We teach best what we most need to learn. And I often, as I implore audiences to, you know, dig deep and go within and see the obvious, I remind them that their thoughts become things, that they're pushed onto greatness every single day, that there is not an angry God, in my opinion, nor are we the product of chance. When I hear myself speak what I believe are these truths, and many, 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 countless other people believe the same, and much of what I share can be found in a variety of holy books. When I hear myself, I feel a charge every single time. It's like, yes, 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 because I have dreams, I have fears, I have the same issues that everybody has, you know, and I'm learning to be bigger and better every single day.
Basic revelation, Bethany.
So it helps.
There are times, actually, when Mike has even been known to confuse time zones and think that, actually, it's not New York time, it's a different time zone. I know it's shocking. You would have thought, still, there we are. So, in fact, time in Florida now, I think, is just coming around to 25 to 1 o'clock. Is that about it? We're 12:35 p.m.? What time do you have over there?
12:33. That's indeed right. Very good. 5:33. Yeah, it's all an illusion, but that's right.
How often do I say, Eloise... Every seminar, it's just an illusion. It's completely just an illusion. Eloise, thoughts from yourself?
Oh, hi. I was looking at your Twitter earlier, and most days you do Notes from the Universe, and they're quite inspirational. I was wondering if they're quotes from your book or how you come about this.
Sign up for them, Eloise. That's what I say. Sign up for them. Anyway, Mike.
Yeah. Well, they have been the core of my teachings and my message, and they came about. At a really dark and scary time in my life. I was 39, almost 40, starting over for a third career, not sure why my life was in such a tattered mess, train wreck. But I remember thinking then that it's not about, necessarily figuring out where you've been. It's not about figuring out where you are. It's about knowing where you want to go, and knowing the truth of the nature of reality, that your thoughts become things, that there's not an agenda, that there are no unknown variables, working against us. Get rid of all that garbage. And then you can chart your own course. And I wanted very badly at this low point in my life to receive random inspiration every single day. And nobody was doing it. So I thought, I'm going to send out these things, because I had a mailing list for the company I had just liquidated. So I had a mailing list, but nothing to tell anybody, no deals of the week or anything. So I started with great hesitation and self-doubt. I thought, I'll just send out a little bit of motivation once a week. And that turned into Notes from the Universe. That turned into a daily thing. That went from 36 email subscribers to 800,000 today. And that's made possible my 15 books, my video courses, my world tours, and so much more. So,
and your regular appearances on Siren Radio, obviously. Critical.
That's right.
I remember when Mike and I first met, it was actually in the elevator at the Etihad Stadium. That would be Manchester City. I believe you said, Mike and I, was an old soul. I thought that was really quite sweet, really. An old soul.
Yeah. Obviously we were. Indeed, I do. I'm just sure that's true.
Well, there you go. And City haven't looked back since. Over to you, Ben.
Mike, is there any kind of locations in the future that you'd love to perform in or actually do talks in? Is there anywhere like that?
University of Lincoln, obviously, England would be a classic case.
That's a given. But any big locations you'd like to do?
Well, I guess as I view myself to be a teacher, and a teacher on the nature of reality, a spiritual teacher that speaks to the exciting nature not only of our divinity, but what that means in terms of living deliberately, living a life of our dreams. I believe that's in a large part of why we're even here, for the joy of it, for the fun of it, for the adventure of it, and to make stuff happen. So I would like to have bigger audiences wherever they may be. Certainly I would be up for a stadium world tour. That's on my vision board. But I'm happy doing what I'm doing, so it doesn't have to happen. And by now, having spoken in so many countries, I've lost track. It's not about where I speak. I've checked off all those boxes. There's still a lot of the world, most of the world I haven't spoken in, but more it's being an effective teacher. And if I am an effective teacher, that will show up in the form of expanding audiences. So that's kind of an egotistical goal of mine.
And to paraphrase,
be a better teacher and therefore attract more people.
To paraphrase Richard Bach, of course, if we're still alive, it means our mission on the planet isn't over. So that's why we keep doing the shows. Anyway, life continues. anything else that people have got to quick sort of lines? Bethany, okay, clear for that? Do you feel inspired by Eva?
I feel very inspired. It's been an inspirational talk.
TUT.com is, of course, the go-to place to find out all manner of marvellous Mike Dooley goodness from that point of view. And it's worthwhile checking out Lorna Byrne as well from that point of view. It's an extraordinary sort of connection there.
Oh, yeah.
I sincerely hope we might be able to. I mean, tickets are probably all gone for London, but who knows? We might squeeze in a press thing or some way, shape, or form. Abigail, would you like to put those last two questions as a Canadian to a citizen of Florida?
For sure. Have you had a reasonably good telephonic link with us today?
Amazing. Yes, I have. Thank you, Abigail.
Wonderful. And will you be joining us again?
Very soon.
I'll be counting the days.
There you are, you see.
I hope I'm invited back.
A round of applause for Mike Dooley, please. As ever, sending a whole range of messages out there. And
thank you, everybody.
Apropos of our angels.
I sit and wait. There's an angel. Contemplate my fate. Do they know the places where we go when we're gray and old? 'Cause I have been told that salvation lets their wings unfold. So when I'm lying in my bed, thoughts running from my head, and I feel that love is dead, I'm loving angels instead. And through it, oh, she offers me protection, a lot of love and affection, whether I'm right or wrong, and down the she won't forsake me. I'm loving angels instead. When I'm feeling weak and my pain walks down a one-way street, I look above and I know my bones. Oh, when love is dead, I'm loving angels instead. And through it, oh, she offers me protection, a lot of love and affection, whether I'm right or wrong, and down the waterfall, wherever it may take me, forsake me. I'm loving angels instead.
Hopefully that's exactly what William Coles is doing now, because he has been having his second roller skiing lesson today. Yep. No. Midlife crisis. No. Yeah. But that's what he's been doing, and he assures us that he will be with us in the second hour of the program, unless he's under the surgeon's knife.
It's a bit worrying, Alex.
He needs to be a bit more positive.
Or on the back of a jet ski.
Either of those two things. I mean, Abigail, you are our resident ski expert. Have you ever tried roller skiing?
I can't say I have even heard of roller skiing, but it sounds interesting. And Beth, as soon as I'm healed up, I'm going to figure out how to try it.
You're going to be there. You're going to be roller skiing. What, Bethany, roller skiing?
No, actually.
No?
Eloise,
roller skiing?
No, I'm actually confused about...
Yeah, is it ski? Is it roller? Is
rollerblading
on skis.
Who knows?
And Eva, roller skiing?
I've never heard of it before.
Well, we will hopefully find out exactly what roller skiing is about in about half an hour or so from now, after we've spoken to Melissa, who's an Irish singer-songwriter, who's brought two little tunes along that we're going to be featuring, which quite frankly are quite extraordinary. One's the only, as she can, she says, anti-Brexit song she's ever encountered, and she's written it in herself, so there we are. No politics, but the views of Melissa. We've also got Philip Hurdwood, producer, writer and actor, back with us. And who's going to be assessing the programme, given that Phil Learness is so obsessed with his wedding, he's just having to take time. He might be with us tomorrow morning, actually. It's could have been Graham Harper, but he's at the Royal Television Society this evening, so he's back on tomorrow morning. It's all right, so tell us what he's been doing at the Royal Television Society. But Robin Pearce is back again, talking about the movie Glass. Have you seen Glass? What did you think, Eloise?
I was actually really disappointed.
Yeah. I was umming and ahhing about it, and in the end I decided, no. Yeah. So, okay. Anybody else seen Glass? The movie.
No, I can't say I've seen it. Unfortunately.
I'm scared that I'll be disappointed, so I haven't watched it.
Very good. It's, you know, well, let me engage your angel. Engage your angel, Abigail, and find out from your angel whether you'll be disappointed or not if you actually go and see Glass the movie. It's, we need to communicate more. We need to be communicating more with the astral plane, a variety of other things. I'm about to communicate now with the Siren News team, because it is 5:45. It's time for the Siren News. Well, in one word, toasty. Maybe it'll win. I don't know, though. The last Eurovision after Brexit. First Eurovision after Brexit. Never mind. Vicky the EU worker with no opera backing is up next. About to be performed for us by Melissa, singer-songwriter, who's going to be talking about her work as a creator of music and how she can get radio stations to play her tunes.
Vicky was her name, and she came from far. Now she's gone back again to the place where she belongs. God only knows if she is safe. Will I ever know what has happened to her now? Will I ever know if she has a place to go just for her sake? Vicky, Vicky, no one is to blame. Your life was made to choke. Will you ever forget the pain? Your life, but inside you felt so new. The going was too rough, and you suffered from the pain of living in a different world, where everything was shattered by the words of others. You were used by the waves, and no, you felt inside, no one was ever there for you. For you. For you.
And the answer as to how you can get your songs aired on the radio, make them good and send them in. Vicky the EU Worker, with no opera backing, brackets, is a nice way of introducing another debut co-presenter for the programme today, this very evening. It's Millie, singer-songwriter extraordinaire. How are you, Millie?
Hello, I'm fine. Thank you very much for asking. I'm glad you enjoyed my song. You said 3 minutes. It's actually 5 minutes.
Well, you know, you added that extra two-minute bonus, you see, whilst the five midweek drivettes were just generally chilling out, relaxing, chillaxing. And just, I mean, I thought Ben had gone into a transcendent state for a moment. I thought you were communicating with your
angels
there.
Almost quite, almost quite.
Yeah, exactly. Share with us, what was it all about? Vicky the EU Worker, the non-operatic version. You said in the emails that we responded that you were concerned that this was the first time you'd actually heard a song which was anti-Brexit.
Yes, yes. I mean, I haven't actually seen any songs talking about Brexit at all on any radios or anything. Have you?
No, is a short answer. Let's just test it around the whole thing. Nothing from Bethany? No. Eva?
No, I've not.
No. Abigail?
I can't say
it's a, no. And it's a no from Eloise, presumably.
Yeah, no.
No, so the six of us, no.
To Nigel Farage at LBC. Maybe it was blocked as an insult or something.
When you start talking about the Farage Meister, just don't go there. You know, I'm sorry.
Let's not talk about politics.
Exactly. I don't want to buy a used car at this particular moment in time, so let's just step away from that whole sort of issue entirely. So share with us your background, because, I mean, you've been obviously producing music, and we're going to hear another one in a few moments, of course, Millie. But you wrote to us originally, our sister station, actually. You contacted us and said, look, how could I get my songs played on air and so on? And in fact, if I can quote you directly, hello, I am a songwriter and I'm contacting you to find out how to get my songs on your playlist. Nothing like a forthright sort of request, but here is a song I've written covered by Christina Lardo, who is in Hamilton the Musical. You may also like my song, Vicky the EU Worker. Millie then wrote back to say, you do realise I'm not actually Christina Lardo. Yeah. She's singing the song from that point of view.
I guess that a lot. I got one producer who emailed me back saying, you're not too bad looking, maybe I can give you a discount. So I emailed him back and I said, that's not me, that's the lady I paid to sing the song, who was in Hamilton. And he said, oh, I'm not doing any production at the moment.
You see, that's just blatant sexism, which, frankly, I just put a dim light on and think is just outrageous. Yeah, I mean, you know, if there are people still out there in the industry of radio and the music business who are judging people on looks alone, frankly, what have we come to?
Well, I'll be honest, that's why I am paying other people to sing my songs, because they are judging people on looks alone. And even if you are an older person and, you know, you still have to have a certain look, you can't just go out there looking like a bag lady or something.
Why not?
Susan Boyle made it.
She looks different now, though, apparently.
That's the exception. But what I'm saying is I'm actually a songwriter. I prefer to see my songs interpreted. I mean, I think she did a very good job, Christine. My songs interpreted by really, you know, obviously my dream would be top stars. And see, that would add to the artistic value the more you have different performances and, you know, make them as beautiful as possible. I mean, I was just listening to my song on the phone now, and if it wasn't for the backing, it wouldn't sound as good, you know?
Mind you, it has to be said, Millie, that actually listening to your music down the telephone line on speakerphone is not necessarily the best way of actually getting the ultimate experience, you know, if we're looking through that sort of system.
It is the things like the background, production, who's singing it, how they perform it, the whole package these days. So, yeah, so I'm just the songwriter, and then other people could come along and they could change something or they could perform it in a different way. I'll have so many ideas for songs, and I just don't want to. I don't write songs anymore at the moment. I kept a couple in my drawer because then you have to go to the studio and pay the studio. Then you have to look for the singer. Then it's
a nightmare, honestly. Let's just ease away from that. A couple of basic questions: have you considered Eurovision?
I did. I entered Breakdown for Eurovision. That's why I wrote it.
Well,
that's why I paid Christine to enter. Now I'll tell you the story. Since you've hit the nail on the head, what happened was, you have to have a song that's less than 3 minutes. And I entered it for the Swiss Eurovision song, the first level, 3 years ago. I put an ad out. I think it was, what was it called, the website? I'd never done this before. I had loads of people emailing back, and then they just fizzled out. I even had some abusive people. I said I was paying £100 per song. I was going to do two songs. and expenses, and I got people saying that was what's the word, less than the legal amount, and I was like, well, did you notice I said it's only going to take an hour or two? You know, it was so rude. In the end, I got three people who said they were going to come, so I booked a studio, which again was a nightmare to find one. And of the three people who I then obviously would have had to pay £600 if they all turned up, the first lady didn't turn up. The second lady was so bad. I mean, I paid her, obviously, but I just didn't use the footage. I mean, I used her for another video, like where she was just sitting looking pretty, because she was pretty, but she couldn't sing. And then out of the blue, this was just when Christine was just going for the auditions for Hamilton, because I presume you know Hamilton, right?
It's a great musical, absolutely. A very great musical, very important musical.
So, out of the blue, whizzed in, me and the producer were just like, oh, good, you know, this is... at this point, I was just thinking, I'll just sing it myself, you know. You didn't want to go myself and look, you know, I wouldn't have a chance in hell. But so in whizzed Christine, looking fantastic as she does, as you probably know her, right? Sounding fantastic, sounding really like light and breezy and yeah, I'll do that, like really professional. I said to her, look, because there had been a mix-up, so we didn't have a lot of time to do the video and everything. I said, look, I'd originally paid another woman to sing it many, many years ago. I said, we'll do one or two sentences at a time. You just copy, imitate. And I was thinking at this point, as long as she's in tune, I don't care. But she just literally nailed exactly and better how the other professional singer had done. So then you just put the sentences together in the studio, which took literally 10, 20 minutes per song. And then I said, look, we'll just, you read the words, and I can't remember how we decided she was going to lip sync it on front of a microphone. She nailed it. You would not believe. Within an hour, she'd done both songs. You would not believe that she was lip-syncing. You have to look really carefully. There's just one tiny second. I mean, I don't know if I sent you the YouTube link. Anyway, so that was the story. So I had said to her, this was for the Eurovision Song Contest, and I told everybody I was looking for someone to go in. So then she said, yeah, yeah, fine, fine. And then afterwards, I sent it in for the Eurovision, for the Swiss Eurovision. Luckily, so to speak, we didn't get through. Because then, after I'd sent it in, the deadline was the 31st of January, I said, by the way, you do know that if we get through, you have to go to the Eurovision. And she said, oh, no, no, I can't do that. My agent won't let me, because she was signed up with some big Warner or something like that. So I was a bit offended, because she said, I'm happy to do a video of it, which would have been her in a car. And I thought at this point, well, there's no point, because she doesn't want to...
And the car broke down, hence the name of the song, Breakdown.
No, we didn't do it. I didn't do a video. We just did a video of her singing in the studio on that day. She had said she'd do another, which I now regret, because obviously I didn't realise she was going to become so famous. She told me that she was going for the auditions in the West End. She told me she was in a girl band. And it's only about a year ago I found out.
Well, Millie, let's take a pause, because we've got the video set up in the studio. We've also got Breakdown ready to actually roll. This is 3 minutes, as far as I'm aware. Breakdown brackets.
Well, it has to be for the Eurovision, so...
The car insurance song. This is what Eurovision could have won.
Yeah.
It's all right, the car is going again. A round of applause for Breakdown, please, the car insurance song. Yay!
Thank you. Yeah, it was hard to get it into 3 minutes. We wanted to add a few verses, and it was like, you know, in a studio, you're like, you have to be under 3 minutes for the regulations, and it was like, we're cutting out seconds here and cutting out seconds there. And
obviously, Eurovision doesn't realise what it's missed, Millie. Now, I detect a slight Irish accent. Is this true?
Well, you have to be half Irish to write it, be a songwriter.
Oh, and are you Dublin? Are you Cork? Are you north of whereabouts in Ireland?
Well, this says of Dublin, but my father's Italian.
Oh, well, there we are. I mean, let's open it up for questions. Eloise, questions for Millie. No, Eloise is speechless. Hello, Eloise. It's quite all right. Let's go to Ben.
Yeah. What has been your inspiration behind singing and songwriting? What got you started in singing and songwriting?
Yeah, I was telling someone the story recently. I mean, obviously, being half Irish, half Italian, as I said, I mean, my mother made me play classical guitar when I was six. And I got her, she was forcing me, basically, even though obviously at the time I didn't realise it. And within 2 years, I got up to grade six. And then I got her a scholarship in Ireland to go to the Royal College of Music for 10 years. So I was plugging along doing what she wanted me to do, which I didn't realise I didn't really want to do, which was practising 4 or 5 hours a day. And being the main guitarist in concerts for the Royal College of Music, which is really funny now. I remember I was about 10, and there was like about 40 men doing the bass to my main classical guitar on the stage. I was so nervous. I remember nearly, you know, slipping. The guitar was sliding out of my hand from the.
It could be a health and safety issue as well, Millie, to be honest. You know, if that guitar had actually fallen on your feet,
In fact, many of my guitars were ruined by putting them against radiators. You shouldn't put classical guitars... So when I got to about 12, I thought, I don't want to really do this. I mean, which is an awful pity, because if I'd realised how to actually compose, it would have been great. But I was just doing it like an automatic pilot, memorising the tunes, you know. Like, I was very good with my fingers and doing all the classical pieces. But so I got to about, I think it was grade 8 or something, and then... I decided I didn't want to do it anymore. I just wanted to do composing songs and singing, because I still liked singing. In fact, I always wanted to be an opera singer before. So I started writing songs, and then that's actually why I decided to move to London, because I thought London was the place. Because I left Italy when I was 19. I thought London was the place to become a singer-songwriter, because I thought, well, I'm not good enough to be an opera singer, but maybe a normal singer. And I did all the wrong things, because those days you didn't have internet or anything. You know, you'd send your tape by recorded delivery, and you'd wait 2 years for an answer and that kind of stuff. Or
Millie, I mean, there are so many things we can actually talk about, and I'm sure we will in the fullness of time, but we need to squeeze up to Scotland to find out how William Coles has actually been going on with his first, not snowboarding lesson, but snow skating session. It's a tough call. So, Abigail, would you like to put those last two questions to Millie, please?
Sure. Have you had a reasonably good telephonic link with us today?
Yeah, not bad at all. I can hear you all very well. Yes, that was enjoyable.
Lovely. And will you be joining us again?
I hope so. Now, the one thing I do want to mention is where you can hear my songs, yes?
Yes, of course. Where can we find your songs, Millie?
So it's SoundCloud. And then the first word is Laika, like the first drug in space. So that's L for Lima, A for Alpha, I for India, K for Kilo, A for Alpha, and then Space Dog. So Laika, Space Dog on SoundCloud.
That's good enough for me. Laika Space Dog on SoundCloud. It's a tribute to our Russian friends who sent up Laika back in the day. Here's Andy Williams. For me.
a long time, now we're a kiss apart. Darling, this is the right time to let the kisses start, for you're almost mine, and soon
that is the word that people dare not say in these particular areas, midlife crisis.
William Coles, romantic novelist, political journalist, and regular midweek drive correspondent from the capital of Scotland, with or without his prehistoric shark's teeth.
So, William, do we have to completely revamp that jingle and ident and actually now add action stunt person extraordinaire? Because I think it's fair to say none of the midweek drive-outs, that's Ben, Abigail, Eva, Bethany, or indeed Eloise, either knew what your latest sport was or indeed wished to take part in it, I think it's fair to say. I mean, Eloise, you were definitely a non-starter.
I mean, after I've Googled it, it looks kind of terrifying, actually.
Terrifying. Bethany?
Interesting.
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 Okay. Eva?
Interesting, yeah.
Interesting.
I'd go the same sentence.
Ben?
Yeah, I'd give it a go.
Ben would give it a go.
I would give it a go.
Ben would give it a go.
I would certainly give it a go.
And Abigail?
Once I have healed.
Once she's healed.
Definitely will give it a shot.
And just in case you've got a dodgy connection, that's once she has healed with a D, and not once she has heels with, you know, high heels. Very important. Because, as you know, William, Abigail is still recovering from a broken hand, which she got from her last skiing experiment. But what were you doing, and how's it gone, and how was the second lesson? And you're not talking to us from under the surgeon's knife, so that must be good.
Yes, it went very well. Unfortunately, a friend joined us for his first lesson, and he was not only a natural, he was brilliant, and beating me out of sight. But anyway, all this roller skiing is purely to learn how to cross-country ski without snow, because we have signed up for the world's most famous ski marathon in a month's time in Engadin in Switzerland. And so without any snow, this is how you've got to learn on concrete.
So once again, why have you decided to go to Engadin to actually do this snow extravaganza?
Well, you keep on having to learn new stuff, and I can swim, and I can run, and I can do lots of other exciting things, but I certainly never cross-country skied before. So a while back, I signed up this thing, and now, I'm 1 month before the race, I'm learning how to cross-country ski. I've given myself quite a tight deadline.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's been an extraordinary show, which has taken us from angels, and let's hope your angels are looking after you, that's all I can say. And indeed, Millie, singer-songwriter, quite extraordinary reading singer-songwriter. Still got Philip Hurdle to talk to, but Eva, any questions you'd like to put to William?
William, how long have you been into snowboarding? What got you into it?
cross-country skiing.
Mm, roller skiing, oh, yes. Not snowboarding, oh, I know.
You put snowboarding on.
Well, exactly.
A friend suggested it to me about a year ago, and I said, okay, let's sign up. And as of the new year, we've now booked the flights, and we've actually got to learn how to do it. But there might be a bit of snow in England, but up in Scotland there isn't so much, so we're having to learn with these roller skis, which are just like inline skates on the seafront just at Edinburgh.
And in terms of timing, when can people actually expect to see the first reports or hear the first reports of William Coles on this ski adventure?
Well, it's on March the 10th is the day.
March
we're flying out a couple of days beforehand. So,
so literally it's 6 days before William Shatner's birthday. This is what we're talking about here. Very good.
I didn't know you were that much of a Shatner fan.
After what we've just listened to, I think Shatner Claus actually has a whole new level of appreciation.
Yeah,
so, right, okay, fine. It could be endless, good stuff. Moving on, Abigail, anything you'd like to add or advice you'd like to give to William as he continues with his roller skiing ahead of his, obviously, ski marathon?
Well, my advice would be to avoid any ditches that you see.
Avoid any ditches, William.
But I am okay, curious good. Now, have you ever had any ski injuries?
Mm.
Nothing too major, nothing that's put me in hospital, just nosebleeds, that sort of stuff, massive grazings, but no, nothing to write home about.
Well, that's okay then.
Maybe I haven't been skiing hard enough.
Can you ever know? Any thoughts from yourself, Eloise?
So, after skiing, what are you going to accomplish next?
Yeah, the next one, you always, before you finish the next challenge, you have to line up some other daft thing, another windmill to tilt at. Maybe kayaking, sea kayaking sounds quite good, and risky as well. You can really kill yourself quite easily on a sea kayak.
Mm. As I said at the start, midlife crisis. I'm just worried, you know, just a sense that's coming through, really. Just ease back from the whole thing, otherwise who knows what could actually happen. As indeed, you know, the guitarist would actually say, you know, even just breaking into a sea kayaking scenario over there. It's been outrageously wonderful, and at a different time slot as well, and I wonder what Robin Pierce will have to say about what he's been listening to so far, because he'll be coming up with his critique in about 10 or so minutes from now, after we've spoken to Philip Hurdwood in another awesome connection. So, Eva, go for it. Last two questions for William.
Oh, William, have you had an interesting telephonic link with us today?
I've loved it. I love my new time slot. Thank you.
You're welcome. And hopefully we'll be hearing again from you soon.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Let's hope so.
And would you like Guardians of the Galaxy 2 soundtrack, or indeed Cast and Live the Dream? Cast, I did there, Cast Injury. Which one would you like to go?
Live the Dream.
Okay, here come those Scouse chappies.
Prime ministers and presidents may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Editions remains.
Quite right to you, and hello to Penny in Buxton, Derbyshire. Again, another perceptive comment. Nice to see that you'll be having centre stage front seats when David Duchovny actually performs later on in the year. Great stuff. Philip Hurdwood, welcome
hello.
To the Midweek Drive. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, and all the better for being on the Midweek Drive.
It sounds as though you're actually speaking through a bit of a TARDIS vocoder device there.
It's your end. I'm hearing you as clear as...
Nothing wrong with my end, dear boy. We're perfectly okay.
No, it's all good. No, it's all good this end. I'm hearing you perfectly good. I don't know what's wrong. Something's wrong. It's your end. It's nothing to do with me. It's your cheap equipment.
It was good enough for Millie, our singer-songwriter, and William Coles, so it must be good enough for you yourself. Anyway, in the studio, would you like to speak to either Eva, Ben, Abigail, Eloise, or Bethany? You've got a choice of five there, and I know you haven't done jingle items for any of them, so we'll have to put that right fairly shortly. Anyway, over to you, Phil. Who would you like to speak to?
Right, the first one to put their hand out. And it's you. Go on. I'll speak to you first.
Yeah, fine. Okay.
That's the power of radio.
Bethany. Okay, so because Bethany's leaning forward. Bethany's leaned forward into the thing for that. She might say she's doodling, but no, she leaned forward into that. So. Please, me.
I bet you'd be great at an auction. You could do one of those things. You raise your eyebrow. You'd raise your bid by 5,000 quid for that precious antique.
Yeah, Antiques Roadshow, guilty pleasure, step away from the actual TV set. That's what I say. I know your brother's an antique specialist, but step away from the whole process.
How long have you had this in the family and all that? Listen, tell me all about yourself. What are you up to?
Me?
I think so.
Oh, wow, okay.
You have a microphone.
Gosh, all about... That's a horrible question. I don't know what to say.
No, not really. I mean, tell me this. How did you get to know Alexius for a start?
Oh, well, I'm an English... undergraduate in my third year,
I did a
science fiction module that Alex taught. So
only because I needed to learn something, as Mike Dooley said earlier with respect to Richard
Bell. Very good.
The only reason I do any teaching at all because I need to learn something.
Yeah,
we teach what we most need to learn.
You did English. So you're in your third year at English, and then have you got any ideas of what you might like to do later when you've graduated?
I'm currently having a bit of a career crisis, so. Open to offers. Yeah, I can't decide what to do, really. So I'm really interested in, like, TV and radio, but it's very difficult to get into, so we're just going to plod along and see what happens.
You made it to Midweek Drive.
Yeah, true.
Many actors, that's the height of their aspirations, exactly.
I mean, would you be interested in kind of create, you know, journalism or production of TV programmes, documentaries or drama or... You know, what sort of area interests you most?
Anything, to be honest. I do like dramas and sort of documentaries and things, but literally anything. I do like the journalism side of it as well, but obviously that's a bit trickier to get into. I'd need to do a few more qualifications and things. But I'm trying to get some work experience in different fields and see what sort of takes my fancy a bit.
Always good, and if you get kind of, you know, somebody come and do an internship or whatever they call it.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, you know,
preferably a paid internship. Yeah. We don't like our undergraduates being effectively exploited, really.
Exactly. So, well, best of luck with all that.
Thank you very much.
It's a really exciting kind of field, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
And something that Britain does very well, I think. I think we've contributed as a country a huge amount to the arts and to television. And we make good TV, make good drama. Mind you, having said all that, and I do maintain that, but at the same time, if you watch some of the Scandinavian dramas that, you know, on TV these days, they tell stories in a very different way. And I think sometimes they're richer and more credible as a result compared to some of the kind of the more, shall we say, procedural British kind of detective series, for example, or shows. Mm. But I think some of the Scandinavian ones are really, really exciting, and they somehow you kind of believe whether the fact that the characters come with no baggage because you don't know the actors, or whether it's just that they inhabit the characters so well. But they're very, very credible, I think.
Let's do a quick straw poll. Ben, are you a Scandi crime drama fan?
I actually don't mind them. I find them quite interesting.
Good jumpers, I always find. Very good jumpers.
Yes, yeah, indeed.
It's cold over there, obviously.
Yes, yes. I find it quite interesting. It's
pullovers, if you wish, but jumpers.
Yes, right. Thank you, Alex.
Woolies. A woolie. That'll do. A woolie. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Exactly.
A Scandi woolie.
Sweater.
Yeah. Go on, you were saying.
But, no, they are. I find them really interesting. They are. They always have good plots to them, and they're always very interesting. I find. I don't know. I don't see them too often. I don't think they play them on UK TV enough. Perhaps.
No, I would tend to agree. There are some good series. So there are, you know, two or three pretty good ones. And I think it's well worth, if you can seek them out, I think it's well worth, you know, having a look through and finding out the good ones.
Eloise, are you a crime drama Scandinavian person, or is it a case of no, I don't like crime, it's too scary?
I'll literally watch anything, as long as it's before 1960, I'll sort of...
Nice choice, anything. Before 1960.
Yeah.
Any reason for that cut-off point? Given that 1960 was when Laika was actually sent up by Russia into the Soviet Union, it's sort of significant.
I don't know, I just tend not to watch any films or except Doctor Who that's after 1960 for some reason.
I think it's great to watch a whole range of different things. Then you can, each different kind of genre plays off against the other, and you can, you know, reach a consensus and then watch a movie or a TV and think, yeah, I've seen a lot now, this is rubbish or this is really brilliant. You know, and it's a way of forming your opinion, isn't it? And sharpening your critical faculties.
Hmm. Not that we want to preempt Robin Pierce too much, but he's just put up that he's very excited on social media that Doom Patrol is next going to be his binge watch in terms of various other Netflix scenarios. So that's Doom Patrol, right. As opposed, of course, to Titans, which has just come to an end, which is wonderful stuff. Eva.
Hello.
Scandi crime
driver. What do you reckon?
I don't really watch very many films, so... I can always give it a go and give it a watch. Mm. But, I don't really touch on films and TV very much.
That's very good. Too busy singing.
Okay. So do you prefer to go watch music? You watch music by preference, do you?
Yeah, I do sometimes. I don't know, I just sort of...
You just exist.
I just exist. Watch whatever's on the television. Exactly.
which could lead to happiness, or could lead to complete despair.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Abigail.
We all exist, our own reality.
Exactly. Abigail, Scandinavian crime. Did it make the journey across to Canada?
I personally can't say it has, because I haven't seen any, or at least I don't believe I've seen any. Mm. But I know I love Scandinavian countries, so...
And which ones have
you
visited?
You might be interested. No. Well, I'll tell you what, I think, isn't there, there's a show on at the moment, isn't there, called Tin Star. I don't know if you watched that, that's set in Canada. Oh, that is one of the most bizarre things in the world. Mm. I think it's Tim Roth, isn't it? And it's really, really, really bizarre. I won't tell you what it's all about, but if you look it up, Tin Star, and it's set in Canada with a policeman who's barking mad and his family and all the rest. And it's a kind of revenge situation. All the way through. It's on to the second series now, and it's just masterfully acted. But the situations and the storylines are hair-raisingly kind of weird, you know, but it's really well worth watching. And it doesn't come over as very British. It comes over as quite kind of, quite American in feel. I believe it is a British production. But
Tin Star. I still don't feel that nothing has matched the joys of northern exposure back in the day, where you actually have a moose walking through the middle of the centre of town.
Oh, you can't whack a bit of northern exposure.
Or indeed moose. And that has brought us neatly round to Ben, or yes. Shall we go for Eloise? Maybe Eloise. Maybe they take a question each. Yes, Ben and Eloise will ask you one question each for those last two interrogatives. Ben, would you like to take the first one, please?
Phil, have you enjoyed your 10-minute link for us today on the show?
I certainly have. Always, as always, far too brief.
Wonderful.
Very enjoyable.
Mm. Wonderful. Glad you enjoyed it.
It was good. Eloise has been rehearsing this very positively, so she's
psyching
herself up.
So,
away we go, please.
Yeah. Will you be joining us again in the future?
Absolutely. If asked, I'll be there, vocally and otherwise.
We'll obviously have to get your audio end sorted out before then, Phil, because I don't know quite what's going on.
I'm hearing you like crystal clear, as if you're in the next room, Alexis.
Funnily enough, we are. Hello!
Johnny, don't you slip up or play the fool. Oh no, Ma, oh no, Da, I'll be your golden boy. I will obey every golden rule. Get taught by the teacher not to daydream. Get taught by my mom. Football with you, John? No? Oh. You must be gonna play cricket this year then, are you, John? Nah, 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 nah. Well, you sure are a funny kid, Johnny. But I like you. So tell me, what kind of boy are you, John? I only like dreaming all the day long.
And if your name happens to be Prince Lobsang Yeshi Chamang, thank you for liking the Penny Heavens post about tuning into the Midweek Drive. Actually, that's most of the most interesting names we've ever encountered, really. Well done, Prince Lobsang Yeshi Chamang. Follow that, Robin Pierce. Prince Lobsang obviously would want to. Sounds like a superhero to me. How is it in Wales?
It's cold and it's dark.
Well, there you go. That's
what's new? Yeah.
Karen Woodham also likes your little post about this thing. Well done, Karen. Eloise, of course, does, but then technically she's part of the show as well, so why wouldn't you like the whole programme? Let's face it, you know, the show's built around the whole thing. So, Robin, how long have you been listening to us, and what kind of things can you comment on? Doom Patrol or otherwise, Titans or otherwise, Glass, of course. Eloise, very disappointed, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually made a note of that. I've got a piece of paper, a little bit of notes that I've been taking during the show, things that I'd like to just bring up.
It's your slot, Robin. Take it away.
Circled it. Eloise didn't like Glass.
No, I didn't. I thought there was a lack of Bruce Willis.
But then it was made after 1960.
That's the other thing I have. Team member did not like pre-1960 TV. That's an arbitrary year. It's also the year that I was born, and I'm interested in why. What was wrong with pre-1960? You're missing some good stuff.
Post-1960. It's anything after 1960.
Yeah.
It's anything. I think that's right, Eloise. You don't like anything after 1960 apart from Doctor Who.
Yeah, there's a few things I watch, but it's mainly things before 1960.
So if you're before 1960, fine. Again.
What do you watch that was made before 1960?
Well, at the moment, I am binge watching Dean Martin, mainly. Sort of, I don't know.
Little old wine drinker, he.
I don't know, I just
Can
think
I
they're
suggest,
more interesting.
If you find it anywhere, you might well enjoy the UK Quatermass series, and you might also enjoy The Adventures of Superman. Little bit creaky these days, but my favourite TV series of all time was started in 1959, so it's like Watershed kind of thing. I would heartily recommend you watch The Twilight Zone. Not the remakes, the originals.
Alex has already forced me to watch The Twilight
Zone.
No,
you say force. You know, you're doing a module in film and television and science fiction. And I was supposed to stay away from The Twilight Zone? And where is everybody?
No, but I couldn't leave, so I was forced to watch The Twilight Zone.
I mean, you've got some real classics left there. Like, Alex, you'll remember Burgess Meredith, Time Enough at Last.
When he broke those glasses at the end.
Broke his glasses.
Spoiler.
Anyway, speaking of spoilers, let's not do any spoilers for Glass. I really enjoyed it. And I was expecting, like one of your team, not to, because in my opinion, director M. Night Shyamalan is kind of hit and miss. He started off with The Sixth Sense, loved it. Unbreakable, outstanding. Signs, again, amazing. The Village, Lady in the Water, what on earth happened there? The Happening, I loved that. The Last Airbender, bought it on DVD, just haven't had the willpower to unseal the cellophane. After Earth, The Visit, Split. Now that caught my imagination because...
Got James McAvoy.
James McAvoy, previously to me, only the guy who was Professor X when Patrick Stewart couldn't be bothered.
Mm.
What a performance. Then when I find out he's going to make the sequel, Glass, and it's going to bring in characters from Unbreakable, a superhero movie that isn't a superhero movie, but actually is a superhero movie. How amazing. And, you know, if...
It's like weird. I mean, sorry, for a moment, I was taking the one side because I thought Bethany was trying to break her knee again.
Are
we okay?
Yes.
I mean, just ease back with the personal harm, Bethany, all right? Just don't do it on air. You know, people would care. Not everybody can be like Lawrence Fishburne or indeed Samuel Jackson.
I'm very sorry.
Anyway, goodness. Am I driving your team to self-harming on air?
I was just messing with my shoe. I was trying to make it comfy. It's okay.
I was really pleasantly surprised with Glass, as I said. I thought that James McAvoy's performance topped his performance in Split as the Horde, the guy with, 23 different personalities? And who wouldn't like Hagrid, really?
Fair point. Has that changed your viewpoint, Ben? I mean, will you now consider taking a line and seeing Glass?
Potentially, I'm always open. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not the most avid sci-fi fan in the world. But,
yeah, but you like Gerry Anderson.
I do.
And
I
James
do.
Bond.
I do. So James, exactly. Well, I mean, world class James Bond is sci-fi.
Many's
such.
The time we've actually sort of exchanged James Bond quotes on an open day. It's the what we do.
I mean, anything really to make the open day pass. But, yes, and you know, I'm open to it. I am certainly open to it. I do enjoy Star Wars as well. That's another one to add to this. But
maybe make the journey to Liverpool. Who knows?
We might. Maybe
I would suggest that you want to see Unbreakable and Split first. It'll make a lot more sense. You don't need to, but you'll get a lot more out of it.
Okay, sets it up.
Solid message.
Yeah.
Eva, any thoughts on superhero movies? Any sort of lines that you particularly sort of think, yes, that was a good one?
I don't really know. I haven't really watched much superhero stuff of the superhero genre. What was someone that I did watch one when about 3 years ago? It was Superman versus Batman.
Classic.
That's the only superhero kind of film that
I've ever watched. Diana Prince. I thought she was with you.
That was okay. I did quite like that. It was all right. Robin, do you have any recommendations of which ones would be better than others?
I would say Teen Titans Go.
Actually, I like Teen Titans Go. I really enjoy Teen Titans Go to the movies.
Stan Lee cameo. What's not to love? For DC as well.
So. You asked for...
And no effing and jeffing like getting Titans the Netflix series.
Have you seen it?
I have.
It's good, isn't it?
Have you enjoyed it, Abigail?
Well, I haven't watched it, but I was in it, in the background.
Whoa, step now, once again, Abigail's credibility. You were in Titans the movie, it's the series.
You caught me for like 0.3 seconds.
This is not the point, you know. Which episode, whereabouts, where can we find you?
Well, I don't know, I'd have to watch it now to find myself, but I will come back and I will let you know.
Well, there's a blast for you, Robin. You know, somebody in the studio's actually been in Titans.
I feel honoured.
Do you know which characters you were in the foreground at all? Was it Robin? Was it Starfire?
It was like a, I know it was like a flashback, but I'm not sure what characters.
There are a fair few flashbacks.
Did they pay you?
They did pay me.
Excellent. Yeah. Win-win.
They do pay you for background stuff, so that's nice.
Supporting artist, to be precise. Not an extra. Supporting artist. Very important.
I wish.
Carry on, Ben. Indeed. Carry on, Robin. Whoever you wish to go to in any way, shape or form.
Recommendations I was asked for. I would suggest Spider-Man, directed by Sam Raimi, is a very good example. But the follow-up, Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man Against Dr. Octopus, actually probably better than the first. Mm.
And the third, of course, Spider-Man does Saturday Night Fever, even
Spider-Man
more exciting.
Spider-Man does just about everything. Oh, yeah. That's...
Venom,
Iron Man also is a good one, and how could we ever not mention last year's Infinity War epic?
Well, it's approaching. Endgame is approaching.
Endgame actually is coming in at just over 3 hours in preview screenings, and the studios have come back with a very strange observation. They've done four preview screenings so far, and in this over 3 hour film, not one audience member has gone to the bathroom.
Yeah.
It is that good.
Or else you've got a very smelly auditorium afterwards because of the excitement. One of those two things, but yeah, this is great. I find it a little irritant when people actually walk. You know, Mary Poppins Returns, lots of people actually just left, walked and out, and just missing critical parts of the whole thing. Anyway, Robin, what else do you want to chat about now? I mean, you can refer to the show. Do you believe in angels, by the way?
I'm going to take the unpopular view here. Really, not really.
No, really, not really.
Popular, in my opinion.
I believe in fate. I believe in coincidence. But people flying around with wings and playing harps, sitting on clouds, really, no.
Writing for Stephen Moffat. Oh, no, that's Weeping Angels.
I did, however, really enjoy Mike Dooley's spot. And I hope he does get his Stadium World Tour. I spent about 20 minutes checking out his TUT talking. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, the Universe Talks.
The Universe Today. Totally unique thoughts.
I really enjoyed that. So much so, now don't tell him this because I don't want to get a swelled head, but I've actually signed up to his newsletter.
Yay. That's what we like to hear.
You know, there's the power of radio right there.
Well, he's paying a visit to London soon.
Exactly. Yeah, Wales, London, it's...
I'm sure there'll be a train there somewhere. Precisely. Paddington, that's where you should go.
I'm really worried about William Coles as well and his midlife crisis.
I mean, it's not just me, is it? You know, I mean, I appreciate... You know, I mean, he was talking last year about actually doing a marathon across the Gobi Desert, and I'm thinking... What exactly?
I didn't go for this skate skiing or... ocean kayaking. For me, I went the safe route. I just went and bought a big 4x4 instead. You know?
We deal with it in our different ways, you see. That's
absolutely
important. I mean, Ben supports Brighton, for heaven's sake.
And Alex is a Man City fan. That was really the midlife crisis, wasn't it? It was the last straw, Alex.
long ago in a galaxy far, far, far away. that's addressed most of the sort of key things there. Bethany, anything you'd like to add to Robin and find out what lead writer of Starburst magazine would like to promote for the shamelessly wonderful Starburst magazine when it's next available for purchase?
What's Starburst magazine all about? Please?
What's Starburst magazine all about?
Yeah, tell me everything.
an English undergraduate, and she asks this question. So.
Yeah, well, okay. I'm interested to hear his, like, sort of view and what he thinks.
It's the world's longest-running magazine about TV and film, sci-fi, horror, fantasy, gaming. I've been actually a reader since its first ever issue, which I picked up in January 1978 on the cusp of the Star Wars release. I have every single issue, and for the past 8 years, I've been blessed to actually write for them. So this is, as far as I'm concerned, a life well lived. You'll find film reviews, TV reviews, opinions, retrospectives. I'm a member of a team who love what they do, and we put out an independent magazine, so we're not beholden to any studios or anybody who sends us stuff to advertise. We're completely independent and therefore, in my view, honest.
And it's the 2019 TV preview issue, 457.
Oh, yes. Yes. What did you make of that?
Do you know, I haven't actually read it as yet, because I haven't actually had a chance to get hold of my coffee. And I know, I keep promising Ed Fortune and indeed Jordan to subscribe. Subscribe to SFX, subscribe to Sci-Fi Now, subscribe. I just find something wonderful about going into a store and actually purchasing a hand copy of Starburst magazine.
Now, you know we have a film festival coming up
mm-hmm.
in March, where we'll be highlighting the work of Troma Studios from New York with
Toxic Avenger.
Lloyd Kaufman there for the weekend. Mm-hmm.
Well, we were at the first ever Starburst Film Festival 2 years ago, or 2 or 3 years ago. Went over to Manchester to see that. We missed out last year. Who knows what's going to happen these days? It's just yeah. Part of a whole rich tapestry of life and more. That's the important thing. But as we need to actually sort of make tracks, because the journey to get Eva back up the hill is going to take about 3.5 hours, given the traffic changes as they put into Lincoln. By the way, did you get in this time, Eva? Because you said you were insistent you were going to sneak in round the corner. Did you manage? How did you get to the studio?
I did. I went round the corner today.
Right.
I didn't find the secret passageway, unfortunately.
Whoever does. It constantly changes, like a different dimensional tunnel. It's like an episode of Sliders. Exactly. You sort of slip through that in a marvellous way. And if you want a guilty pleasure, check out the series Sliders. Because as Eloise will confirm, if Sliders hadn't been greenlit, you would have had a whole series of Paul McGann as Doctor Who instead.
I'd have loved that.
Though. Yeah, well, that's it. But no, John Rhys Davies and company actually slid away into their own sort of magical thing from that point of view. We haven't really talked about the Changing Stars of Inspiration. We thank certainly Anna Lewis, Mike Dooley, Melissa. Robin hasn't said anything about Melissa. Is that because he's speechless? I mean, I don't know.
It's, hi, Melissa.
Exactly. I think that's his quick hello there. Do you know, I feel, to quote Millie herself, he nailed it. So would you like to, I just thought, it was, to be honest, bless her heart, wonderful. I honestly thought it was like living with the housekeeper from Father Ted in the studio for that particular moment in time. I honestly thought it was that sort of moment. You will like it.
I should take that.
You will. You will nail it. That's very good. Abigail, would you like to put those last two questions to Robin Pierce, please?
Yep. Have you had a reasonably good telephonic link with us today?
Not reasonably good. Awesomely good.
Oh, good, great. And will you be joining us again?
As soon as the guy in the Blofeld chair tells me I can, I'll be back.
Oh, just stroking my little white cat here. probably next week, be quite interesting. Primarily because ahead of Robin Pierce, we'd have the editor-in-chief of SFX magazine.
Ooh, competition.
Prophecy. I like to see it as complimentary from that sort of point of view. So we'll see.
That was the other C word I was looking for.
Of course. Tomorrow morning, will you be with us? Bethany, silly question. Eva, sorry. Will you be with us?
I will try my best.
Eva will try. Who knows? Ben?
Yep.
Abigail?
I don't believe so.
Oh, right.
Was I on the list?
You're always on the list, Abigail.
Oh, well, then maybe I'll pop by.
Yeah, it's either the midweek drive or a trip to Iceland by kayak. It's one of those two things. It's the way forward. Eloise back with us next week, presumably.
Yeah, of course.
Excellent, that's right. You reward a little touch of Dean Martin. Can we all say happy February, because it is February. A 1, 2, 3.
Happy February.
The sweet, sweet memories you gave of me. You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Take one fresh and tender kiss. Add one stolen night of bliss.
The memories you gave of me.
One girl, one boy, some grief, some joy, memories are made of this.
The memories you gave of me.
Don't forget a small moonbeam.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Fold in lightly with a dream.
The memories you gave me.
Your lips and mine, two sips of wine. Memories are made of this.
The memories you gave me.
Then add the wedding bells, the one house where lovers dwell, three little kids for the flavor. Stir carefully through the days, see how the flavor stays. These are the dreams you will savor with his blessings from above.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Serve it generously with love.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
One man, one wife, one love through life. Memories are made of this.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Memories are made of this.